Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Philadelphia Eagles Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Whippen, and this is episode 16, 17. I'm not even 100% sure anymore until I upload these, but ultimately, we are moving along just fine in our new podcast, and we're getting a lot of new listeners. So if you're a new listener to this podcast and you just found it and you like what you hear today, make sure to hit that follow button. I'd really appreciate that. Other than that, we have a lot to talk about today. I mean, the Eagles just traded Carson Wentz. I've already went over that at length. I had a reaction show about that when it happened, the day that it happened. I'm going to go over it a little bit today because obviously that's still a very big topic in Philadelphia Eagles sports. But I'm also going to go over some other guys that have gotten the axe that you won't see in Philadelphia anymore. Guys like DeSean Jackson, who has pretty much been the only other big name guy that's pretty much left the Eagles squad. I mean, recently anyway. There's going to be more, and I'm going to go over some names that I expect to be gone soon, one way or another, whether trade or whether getting released for salary cap reasons. This roster is going to look very different come 2021. I mean, it's funny to think that, the game plan when the 2020 season ended, it seemed as if the game plan was to bring back Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, because there was a lot of signs pointing that they were going to try to get the band back together for one more run, that maybe, just maybe, this last year was an aberration. And then things just went south in a hurry. And now it looks like the Eagles are going to be in a full-blown rebuild. Get rid of all the veterans, all the guys making top dollar, and essentially shoot for 2022, 2023, and beyond. You know what I mean? That seems like the game plan now. So looking at the contracts, looking at the salary cap via overthecap.com, which looks pretty up to date. I mean, these things, you know, they're not always 100% accurate, but it gives you a pretty good ballpark idea of where they're at. Looking at the dead cap money alone, they always have a section with just the dead cap money. With Carson Wentz's name in there and DeSean Jackson's name in there, pretty much the only two guys on the dead cap section right now, it's $40 million plus. There's over $40 million in dead cap from just those two guys. That is just pathetic and sad. And somehow, with all these names gone, all these big names. I saw a post the other day on Facebook, in my Facebook group, that had it was the poster of the 2017 Eagles and all the, you know, the players that won the Super Bowl and stuff like that. And there was just X's over all the guys that were not there anymore, that aren't on the roster anymore. There was like five guys. I mean, obviously it wasn't the full 53-man roster. It was a shortened roster of like the starters. It was like five guys left on that poster that are still in the Eagles. That's to the point where this got to now, where this roster is headed, and it's going to get even worse. And only two guys have been released so far. I expect a lot more. Overthecap.com has the Eagles at about $43 million over the cap. I've heard some rumblings that possibly, the cap, the salary cap, the projected cap might be a little bit higher. I don't know if, you know, we won't find out for a while what the actual cap will be for next season. But any little bit helps. Any, you know, raise over, I think it's projected at like 175. Anything over that is going to be huge for the Eagles because they're in one of the most desperate salary cap situations in the league. And this is something that I've been talking about going back to before last year even started. I saw this, you know, this big giant red number. I think the Eagles were like 60, 70 million projected over in the next season. And I was, you know, trying to bring it up as a topic. Like, how come nobody's worried about this? Nobody's concerned that this, you know, this disaster, it's like you're staring at the iceberg on the Titanic. It's freaking huge. And you're staring it down. You're like, we'll turn in time. You know what I mean? Now it's time. And we haven't turned, and we're heading straight for this iceberg, and it's going to completely demolish this roster. So I'm going to go over some of the names that I think could go, and I'll go ahead and I'll do that right now because I'm looking at these names. I really think that, you know, if you look at the Eagles' philosophy, it's not too hard to tell what positions they really value. I think that the defense is going to be one of the things that they blow up. I think that the defense was, I thought it was pretty good last year. I thought that you could argue that the defense outperformed the offense for the most part. I mean, obviously this defense though was built around what Jim Schwartz wanted, and Jim Schwartz isn't here anymore. So I don't think that, you know, the new coordinator comes in, I don't know if he's going to necessarily share the same philosophies, but I do know that the Eagles do value defensive line. It's what won them their Super Bowl originally. And I know they also value their offensive line, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep both, because that's where all the salary cap is really stored. If you look at Fletcher Cox's he's got the highest cap number right now, almost $24 million on his cap. I don't know, you know, is he to a point where he is, I don't know if he's expendable. He's still playing really well. He's at that age, though. He's at that 30-plus age where it's like, maybe we should move him and get rid of him. He's a guy, I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing would surprise me. Not a name on this roster leaving would surprise surprise me. And Fletcher Cox is one that I'm looking at and thinking, like, you know, will he still be good by the time the Eagles are good again? I think that the Eagles have a chance because this division is so bad and because the Eagles have a lot of talent on the offensive side. I still think that they have a lot of good young weaponry. I think they have a lot of good young offensive linemen that they could, you know, turn into a pretty good offense pretty quickly, especially if Sirianni is as good of an offensive-minded coach as, you know, the Eagles will try to sell us on. So I do think, and I think Jalen Hurts is talented too. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback on day one. I think that if you get some talent around him, get a little bit, you know, a little health luck, which obviously they haven't had in years. I mean, I struggle to even say it. But if the offensive line that they put on the field stays healthy for the entire season, I think that they could have a productive offense. The defense on the other side, I feel like there's too many holes. I feel like based off of the fact that we need to dump some money, I think that that's a great spot to do it because they have a lot of aged veterans, especially across the defensive line. So looking at the top two salaries on here, I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are gone, or at the very least, some sort of restructure, some sort of way of kicking the can down the road. It's very hard to tell, but I do know that the Eagles value defensive line. They value defensive line. They value offensive line. I just don't know if they can have their cake and eat it too. That's what happens when you're $43 million over in a league like the NFL where there's a hard cap. Now, one of the guys that they were talking about that's probably going to be gone is Malik Jackson. It hasn't happened yet, but Malik Jackson, he's a guy I actually thought he played pretty good last year, but it's still one of the more, from what I'm hearing, it's still one of the more flexible situations to get rid of Malik Jackson. I mean, even Deshaun, like none of these guys are ideal. Deshaun, Carson, Malik Jackson, none of them. You know what I mean? These are all contracts that are previously, you know, thought to be unthinkable when it comes to moving on from them or getting rid of these contracts so quickly. These are contracts that aren't necessarily structured to be done this way. Like in years past where the Eagles have been ahead of the game and they had contracts where there's, you know, really no guaranteed money in them and they could basically get out from under it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's something that they've been able to do in the past that they might not be able to, that they really don't have a lot of contracts to do with now. And that's why when I look at guys like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, if this is accurate, it's making me believe that the guaranteed salary for both of them is zero. So, you know, that could be, like I said, I don't see them outright cutting them. Maybe trying to restructure them so that they can have some guaranteed money, you know, towards the later years in their careers, you know, as they get older and older, which once again, I don't even know if that's a good thing to do. I mean, obviously this team's not winning anything next year. This division is bad enough. You know, if you look around the division, I don't even know who the quarterbacks are for half the teams in the division. I don't know who the quarterback is for the Reds or the Washington football team yet. I almost slipped up there and said the previous name, but I don't even know if they have a quarterback right now. They just re-signed Taylor Heinicke, who played a playoff game for them. I have no idea what to make of him. I have no idea if Alex Smith is going to try to come back. He didn't look like much of a player last year. I almost want him to try to come back because if he does, I can't say I expect much out of him. They need to solve that. I mean, their offense, actually last year, their offense, I mean, the defense carried the Washington team. But if you look at their offense last year, they actually found some playmakers, some young running backs. They found some good receivers, obviously, with Terry McLaurin, and they found a pretty good tight end, Logan Thomas. I mean, they actually found some pretty good offensive players. They definitely need some line help, and they definitely need a quarterback that can solve their quarterback situation. I think that's a team that's just ripe to try to pick one of these. You know, maybe they get Mac Jones late in the first or something. I'm not really sure. But they need to solve that quarterback situation. And no matter who they get, if they go young like that, there's no guarantees that that player will ever work out. But at the same time, there's no guarantee that they're going to play very well the very first year. So there's no reason to think that Washington is just going to come back and win the division again, based off the fact that they kind of had it handed to them on the last game of the season by the Eagles anyway. The Eagles let them off the hook by basically pulling Jalen Hurts when it was definitely a ball game, and I think that the Eagles would have won that game. So, you know, there's no guarantees that any of these teams are going to win the division. The Cowboys, who's their quarterback right now? We have no idea. A lot was made of Dak Prescott not being in the hype video for the upcoming season. I mean, there's too many, you know, he's coming off of a major injury anyway. Who knows what he's going to be, even if he does come back, even if the Cowboys decide to pay that money. I mean, we have no idea what he's going to look like for the rest of his career or in this very next season, which is the most important. So the Eagles could very well, in this horrible division, no matter what they put out there, no matter what quarterback they put out there, no matter what they put around him, will have a chance at winning this division, especially since they're going to be coming in with a last place schedule. The Washington football team, they're coming in with a first place schedule. You can't tell me they're not going to lose to the Packers. They're not going to lose to the Saints. You're not going to tell me they're not going to lose to, you know, all the division winners are going to have their turns just running through Washington, even though, like I said, Washington's got a really strong defense. That's not a team that I'm going to just look at like they're a dominant team and they're going to have this division on lock for a couple of seasons. Not going to happen. So the Eagles are still in a position where they could win this division, but I don't think they're in a position where they're going to win the Super Bowl anytime soon. So it wouldn't surprise me if they move on from some of these big names, but like I said, I would really think that Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are probably going to get more of a restructure because they still are guys that have a very good history with the Eagles. They have a very strong connection with the fan base, but I'm not going to put it out there that they're not going anywhere either, because it could happen. The Eagles could make the smart decision and just completely start over. If they can't look at what they became these last couple of years because of bad contracts and say we have to learn from that, then I don't know what to say. I mean, they obviously haven't learned from it, because if they learn from it, Howie Roseman would be gone. Or more importantly, Jeffrey Lurie would have a different philosophy, because I keep saying it's not just Howie Roseman. This isn't Howie Roseman pulling all the strings. It's Jeffrey Lurie pulling all the strings, and Howie Roseman's just doing his bidding. So we need to stop looking at it like, well, Howie Roseman's the problem. He needs to go. No, in reality, Jeffrey Lurie's the problem, and he's not going anywhere. He needs to either, at some point, back away, which, you know, I mean, he really, the only Super Bowl he won in his career as an owner of the Eagles was when he took a full hands-on approach. So I can understand. I mean, he took the hands-off approach when Andy Reid was here running the show, and it never got him a championship. He took the hands-off approach when Chip Kelly came in, and he basically, you know, Chip Kelly forced his way into power, saying he wanted, you know, all the control of the world, and it didn't work out. So he basically, at that point, and this is, you know, you can check this out. It's part of, you can go back through the history of this, and Jeffrey Lurie, essentially, when he fired Chip Kelly, said that he became more hands-on with day-to-day operations when it comes to the Eagles. So he's more involved. He's not necessarily, I'm not going to call him a meddlesome owner just yet, but he's definitely more involved. He's definitely more integral when it comes to making, football-related decisions. And Howie Roseman is just an extension of him. And I think that that's the reason that Howie Roseman still here, is because he trusts him. They see eye to eye, and Howie Roseman does what he's asked of Jeffrey Lurie. So, you know, these guys, the two of them, did build a Super Bowl championship team. But I hope that they learn from the fact that they tried to procrastinate the downfall, tried to push it off too far, and basically put them in a position now where they have to do something that they haven't done probably since, you know, in at least 20 plus years, where they have to do a complete breakdown and a complete rebuild. So, you know, that's something too where, you know, I don't like being in this situation as a fan, but because the division is so bad, there is hope, and there is a lot of young talent on this roster. A lot of people are really down on this roster, which I'll go over the guys that I really like, and I think that this team can really turn into, the players that really can turn this around pretty quick. But let's just keep going over some of these veterans, because I think that that's really, that's got to happen first. We got to clear this dead cap. And that's why guys like Fletcher Cox, who could very well be a Hall of Famer at this point, not just an Eagles Hall of Famer, an NFL Hall of Famer. The guy's got 5 or 6 Pro Bowls already. He's a Super Bowl champion. He was one of the best defensive linemen of his generation. He's a guy that you could easily see going to Canton, but it might be smart to say, look, sorry, I mean, that's a hard, you know, he played well last year. That's not an easy guy to replace either. But it might be time to say, you know what, maybe we should move on. It would be easier if Javon Hargrave played better last year, who's the guy that they brought in to kind of be the younger Fletcher Cox of the future. But he didn't play very well. So if you move on from Fletcher Cox and you just trust that Javon Hargrave's the guy, he came on late, but for the most part, he just didn't look the part. So I can't trust the stop. I mean, that was something, if you remember going back, you know, 10, 15 years when the Eagles couldn't stop the run for nothing, that's so frustrating. It's so nice to have a guy that just sits in the gap and just controls things. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to give up on that. I really don't, as far as Fletcher Cox is concerned. Now, Brandon Graham is a little bit different. He's a guy who also played great last year. He's also still really productive. I can't believe we're even having this conversation, but we have to prepare ourselves for the possibility that these things could happen. These guys could, one or both could be gone, because the salary cap is dictating what they're going to do. And I don't know if the Eagles are, you know, I mean, Howie Roseman, he's proven that he's willing, and I keep saying Howie Roseman, but Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie have proven that they're willing to give these guys contracts that hurt the team in the long run to help them, to keep them to stay here. That's basically what DeSean Jackson's contract was. I mean, that thing had like, I think it has like a bunch of like, I want to call them like ghost years on it, where it was like a 5-year deal, but it's like, there was just like some Bobby Bonilla type stipulations where DeSean Jackson's going to get paid like a couple million down the line for years that he's not even in the NFL. I mean, I don't know. Howie Roseman has shown the ability to get very creative with contracts, whether it's like outrageous workout bonuses, things like that, you know, just to basically, you know, hide money in areas that most guys typically don't do. And I think that that's something that I hope he could do for Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, because I do think that this team isn't as far away. I really do think that 2022 could be a big year for the Eagles again. 2021 is not going to be. This 2021 season is probably going to be, like I said, if they win the division, that's about as high as a hope as I could get. But after that, I do feel like if they make the right moves and once some of this dead cap clears, they could be making a run for a bowl again. Or at least, you know, in the thought process of it, not necessarily a realistic view, but they could be in that, you know, let's go out and spend money and get young guys around Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts comes out in 2021 and has a really good year, looks good all year, has that type of Carson Wentz second year leap, and now they're making a push because they got free money, they got money freeing up, that's a possibility. This next year here, at the most, is just going to be a growing year. But do you make that determination that, you know, it's a risk? I mean, you can make that determination where you're going to, I mean, like I said, you could take the approach that, like, we got to completely rip this thing to the baseboards. Just get rid of everybody. Get rid of Fletcher Cox. Get rid of Brandon Graham. Get rid of all these veterans. Get rid of Lane Johnson. Anything that's making too much money. They could take that approach. And basically, you know, that approach, I think, would leave their future much more wide open. Or they could, you know, basically take the approach that I think that they think Jalen Hurts is the guy. You know what I mean? And they think that they will be there in 2022, that this is just 1 year and they come right back. I mean, it is, you know, the first approach is a little bit more NBA, like ripping this team down to nothing and try to get the first overall pick. That's a little bit more NBA than NFL. I mean, there are teams in the NFL that have been doing it the last couple years. The Jaguars pretty much did it this last season. The Dolphins tried to do it the year before that, where they were tanking for Tua. You know, I mean, there's teams like that. They're, you know, they basically are like, let's just start over, get as much money off the books, accumulate as many draft picks as possible. And I don't know if the Eagles are going to do that or not. I mean, there really hasn't been enough signs to point to that just yet. But we could very well be seeing that type of stuff very soon. I mean, I don't think getting rid of Deshaun Jackson, cutting that dead weight, a guy who played like four games in 2 years and made like $20 million, I don't really think that getting rid of him points to, you know, we're going to do that move. But if they got rid of a guy like Fletcher Cox or a guy like Brandon Graham, then yeah, I'm going to start thinking that that's what they're doing. I don't think the Eagles are going to do that, though. I think that they can see that this division is wide open. I think that they can see, you know, that this organization has not been that type of organization since Jeffrey Lurie's been here. It's never really been a team that's so barren of talent or so bad that they have to take that approach. And like I said, the two teams I just mentioned, the Dolphins have been embarrassing for a long time. The Jaguars have been, I mean, they had a good year, but for the most part, they haven't been very good since, you know, Mark Brunell. You know what I mean? Like, they're for the most part, that's what those two teams are. They're consistently bad teams. And the Eagles aren't that team. They've been in the playoffs 13 times in the last 20 years, and they've won the division several times. In the last 20 years, they've been to six NFC championship games. I mean, that's not something, I mean, that's almost once every 3 years. That's not something that teams like that typically do. So I think that they are going to take the more cautious approach, try to shift some money around, but I do expect there are going to be some major veterans leaving. I just don't think the Eagles are going scorched earth. So number one, I think that I've already heard some trade rumors about Darius Slay. That's another bad contract all of a sudden. The guy played really well, but once again, the Eagles don't value cornerback. They never really did. They did that move mostly, I think, to satisfy Jim Schwartz, who isn't here anymore. So it wouldn't surprise me if they bite that bullet and they let Darius Slay, if they trade him. You know what I mean? Because it's to the point where his contract was kind of a 2-year contract anyway, where they could get out from under it after 2 years. So maybe they let him, you know, maybe they play this out. I don't really know. I don't really think they get rid of Javon Hargrave yet. They just picked him up. Guys that they probably can't get rid of, though, Zach Ertz. That's a guy where, you know, they could definitely I'm already hearing a ton of trade rumors about him. I don't know what his value is, but I don't even know if the Eagles are concerned with that, because I think they might be in a position now because of cap where they're just going to take whatever a team can give, because they already have a tight end who might be better in Dallas Goedert. So that's something that, you know, Zach Ertz, he was best buds with Carson Wentz anyway, and I think that that might have been something that was prolonging his position on the field, where Dallas Dallas Goedert's obviously a better blocker. He might be a better receiver at this point too, a more explosive receiver as well. It's to the point where it's his job. It's Dallas Goedert's job. So Zach Ertz is definitely a highly priced guy that's trending towards being a backup. So I think they'll just take whatever somebody gives them. Alshon Jeffrey, I don't know if they're still trying to trade this guy. That salary cap is still a nightmare. He's going to be gone one way or another. You can't keep bringing this guy back. Then Malik Jackson, which I already discussed. Guys like Jason Kelce. Now, this is an interesting one that I've heard trade rumors. Not necessarily, huge trade rumors, but I've heard some rumblings about him possibly in Kansas City. I've heard some things that the Eagles might cut him if they can't trade him. I don't know how true any of these are, but that's something where, he's a lot like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. I mean, this guy is he's a Philadelphia legend. You know what I mean? He's going to go down in the Eagles Hall of Fame, but he's still, he's talked a lot about retirement in the last couple of years, and that's something that I could see happening. I could just see him walking away, not necessarily wanting. I think that's why when you hear the rumors that he might want to go to Kansas City to play and win a Super Bowl with his brother in Kansas City, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, him just coming back to keep losing, I don't think he necessarily wants to do. I think coming back to build his legacy post professional football is probably smart. I think he's right on the borderline of NFL Hall of Fame, not just Eagles Hall of Fame. So if he were to go to KC, get another All-Pro, get another Pro Bowl, get a Super Bowl, I think that could lock him in as an NFL Hall of Famer. And I think that should be something that he should be trying to do, because in my opinion, he's very deserving. There was a lot of years where he didn't get enough credit when he probably deserved it. I know one year he made All Pro and he didn't even make Pro Bowl, which is a joke. If you make All Pro but you don't make Pro Bowl in your respective conference, I mean, that's just embarrassing. But that happened. So there's just proof that Kelce was always a top-notch center in this league. He just got overlooked in some of the more bad seasons, especially when you're like a sixth-round pick or fifth-round pick, whatever he was. First-round picks, second-round picks, if you're a center, guys like Travis Frederick, I mean, even when he didn't have good years, he's still getting Pro Bowls, because when you go that high in the draft, it's not typical, you're in the spotlight right away. This guy had to earn his stripes and earn his way into these honors. And then once he got here, everybody in the league just realized, wow, this guy's really that good. So he's a guy I would hate to see him go, but I would be happy to see him go and win a Super Bowl with his brother in Kansas City if that were to play out that way. That's not like the Carson Wentz situation where this guy forced his way out. This guy, Jason Kelce, we all know he loves the city. Carson Wentz was like, I don't like it here. I don't like these fans. I don't like this situation. I don't like this team. I don't like living here. I don't like Philadelphia. I like a smaller area. All that stuff it had to be, play a part in his decision to force his way out of here into a situation that he wanted. I don't think that Jason Kelce is that way. This is a guy who he's earned it all. He's done everything he has to do. He's reached the highest pinnacle of his sport. So that's something that I would like to see the Eagles facilitate whatever he wants to do. If he doesn't want to come back as an Eagle, that's 100% cool with me, and I wish him well. But that's another name where I'm hearing a lot of rumors. Rodney McLeod's another guy. He really stepped up last year. I was not a big Rodney McLeod guy. I don't know if they can move on from his contract very easily, but that's a position, once again, secondary. I think that's something that the Eagles don't have a ton of stuff to build with, and I think it's somewhere where they can probably just start over completely, just draft new guys everywhere. I really like some of the young linebackers that the Eagles have. They do have, Alex Singleton was probably one of the bigger bright spots as far as a linebacker goes last year. He is an exclusive rights free agent, so the Eagles should be able to retain him, at what capacity, I don't know. But he's a guy that I would expect them to try to be able to bring back. After the guys that they drafted last year and him, they don't really have a ton at linebacker. They don't really have a ton, especially not money-wise, which is cool. But they definitely have, the secondary as a whole. I mean, there's nothing – I'm not holding on to anything there. It's just, you could blow that up and just completely redraft it. Like I said, I'm cool with the Eagles not being great this upcoming season. So that's pretty much where I'm at. There's definitely, like I said, I really wanted to go over the bright side of this. I think the defensive side, I think that you can try to shed as much cap on the back half of that as possible. Secondary, maybe some of the defensive linemen, although – I'm not really sure. Every year we all wait for Derek Barnett to turn into a player. I don't know if it's time to just cut bait, because if I'm reading this correctly, that's about $10 million right there that they would save. And he's a good player. And once again, it's a position that the Eagles value. He's still young. you know, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, it's just he hasn't really performed to the point where that salary is justified or deserved. It reminds me a little bit of Nelson Aguilar's contract, who going into his last year as an Eagle was making about $10 million. There was a lot of rumors the Eagles were trying to trade him, and I was all for it. Even though Nelly was coming off of a big year, I was all for it because I was like, you know what, looking at this cap, I'd much rather have that $10 million. And I think that the Eagles can get out from underneath Derek Barnett just by simply rescinding the fifth-year contract. I think that's all they really have to do. And that's not going to be a very good PR move. That's the thing that we really have to look at going forward is, you know, PR. They look terrible right now. They look absolutely terrible right now post Carson Wentz trade. I almost feel like cutting DeSean Jackson was supposed to be like a slightly positive spin, and that's why that already came out, because this is a move that has to be made. He has been nothing but a disaster since he's come back, nothing but an injury-prone nightmare. He's only played a couple of games. He only gave really the Eagles and the Eagles fans like maybe one or two moments in his return, which is really sad because he's one of my all-time favorite Eagles players. I really was excited when he came back. I knew when he came back, I was like, this guy might play 10 games a year. He didn't even play 10 games total. So, you know, maybe that was that. Maybe that was supposed to be a slightly different, you know, there's definitely no trade value that they could have got out of Deshaun with all that injury, you know, piled up and, you know, his age. There's no way that they could have traded his contract. I don't know if they haven't gotten rid of Alshon Jeffrey yet, because that would be a huge PR move. I can't stand the fact that guy's on our roster still. That'd be a huge, you know, for me, I'd be happy. But the cap hit's still going to be very big. So I think that, you know, they're still trying to tiptoe around that. Maybe they're thinking they can still possibly get something for him, trade him for a 7th round pick, an 8th round pick, a 9th round pick that don't even exist, just something so that they can try to not eat as much cap space, I think is really what they're trying to do. But it's just not going to happen, so they really have to cut bait there. But there is a lot of really good offensive talent on this roster, and I do want to leave this particular side of the conversation on a positive note, because, and I've mentioned this in the past, I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, I mentioned that, I mean, number one, I really like Jalen Hurts. I do think he's a really good young prospect. When I look at the draft, and there's a lot of people saying that, well, the Eagles might have to take a quarterback with the 6th pick now, or they might be thinking about it, or they might be willing to possibly even package picks and trade up. These are all things that could happen, and I'm not against any of them, to be honest with you. If they identify a quarterback and they say, this guy's the next John Elway or something like that, or the next Tom Brady, go get him, because the Tom Brady proved this last year. Patrick Mahomes proves it also, that the best quarterbacks win Super Bowls, and that's all the Eagles really should be involved in trying to do. They shouldn't be trying to just win games. They shouldn't be trying to just win, you know, division titles and stuff like that in this poorest division. They should be trying to win Super Bowls. So if you think that there's guys out there in the draft that can get it done better than Jalen Hurts, and you're in a position to get that guy this year, go ahead and get him. I'm all for it. I'm all ready for the rebuild. But when I look at Jalen Hurts and I look at some of these other prospects, there is nothing physically that I see that these prospects in the draft can do that Jalen Hurts can't. And that is really just looking at tape, obviously looking at you know, highlights and gameplay footage and stuff like that. When I look at the physical attributes of the guys coming out in the draft, and then I look at the physical attributes of Jalen Hurts, the speed, the throwing accuracy, the throwing power, the throwing ability, all these things. You know, I think Jalen Hurts can make all the throws. I know there's a lot of people questioning it. I saw a report recently that said that, you know, as far as, you know, arm strength, I mean, I saw Jalen Hurts complete more deep passes this last year than Carson Wentz, and a lot of it was because of accuracy, not because of arm strength. Sure, Carson Wentz has a stronger arm, but Jalen Hurts, you know, Carson Wentz couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat last year. Jalen Hurts, I saw a lot of touch. I saw a lot of tight spiral throws. I saw a lot of, you know, leading receivers. I saw a lot of, you know, getting it out on timing. A lot of really positive things from Jalen Hurts that if I were to say, you know what, I want one of these other quarterbacks in the draft, I would have to identify something that they can do that Jalen Hurts, that I don't think Jalen Hurts can. And I don't know what that is. I see a lot of great athletes coming out of this draft, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's, I mean, there's really only, you know, I'm not looking at like the Mac Joneses and the guys more on the back end. I'm looking at guys that are at the top of the draft, Zach Wilson, you know, guys like that, that we actually have a shot at getting. These guys, I see the arm, I see the athleticism, I see, you know, I see a lot of playmaking ability, I see all that stuff, and I see all that in Jalen Hurts. So there's no doubt in my mind, you know, people might say, well, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, he didn't go in the first round, he was a second-round draft pick, and that probably scares a lot of people away. There must be some sort of deficiency. People that aren't familiar with Jalen Hurts' situation might look at that and say, like, well, there's a reason he didn't go higher, because, you know, obviously. But you could say the same thing about Russell Wilson. There's a reason he didn't go higher. He went in the third round, and obviously that was a mistake. The guy's one of the best quarterbacks. He's one of the top three quarterbacks in the league, top four quarterbacks in the league, MVP caliber quarterback every year, even though he's never even come close, which, you know, once again, he's always overlooked. I mean, that's the idea. He went in the third round because he was short. Let's just call it what it is. He went there because of physical deficiencies. The same reason that Tom Brady went in the sixth round, the greatest quarterback of all time. Every team passed on at least five or six times, and that's a joke. He went there because he went to the combine and he ran one of the slowest combine record, you know, sprints in combine history, probably. That's the real reason that these guys are going, is because people looked at them for their deficiencies. I don't think that you can look at Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he's obviously a great athlete. He's got a great arm, in my opinion. You know what I mean? There's nothing when I stack up Jalen Hurts to some of these prospects. I can't say that I see something that jumps out that says, well, Jalen Hurts can't do that. There's nothing. There's nothing that I look at from Jalen Hurts, from what I've seen of him, and say that he can't do the same thing that these high-level prospects coming out this year can do. And I take it a step further. If Jalen Hurts started, like I said, he took a weird path to the NFL. That's the real reason that he was a second-round pick instead of higher. If he started for 4 years at either Oklahoma or Alabama, if he didn't have to transfer because he lost his job, he would have been a first-round pick, a high first-round pick, in my opinion. I think he's got that type of talent. I just think that, you know, people are scared away based off of the fact that, you know, why did he lose his job? Why did he not perform in that championship game? Why did he, you know, there's any number of things. But the guy that he lost his job to was supposed to be the number one pick. People forget that as well. The guy that he lost his job to was the guy that everybody was tanking for. That's the guy that the Dolphins were tanking for on purpose to try to draft. That's a rare quarterback. You know what I mean? It's not often that there's a guy that's so good or so highly thought of that teams are like, you know what, let's just lose this year so we can get him. That's a once every 5 to 10 year type of guy. That's, you know, John Elway. That's, you know, Andrew Luck. That's, you know, Trevor Lawrence this year. There's guys that come out that people are like waiting years and years and years for them to come out so they can possibly turn their franchise around. That's what these guys are. And that's what Jalen Hurts lost his job to. I mean, that's no real shame to lose your job to that. So maybe, you know, maybe he, I mean, there's also, you know, maybe he was just better in the situation. It's really hard to say, but Jalen Hurts lost his job to a very good quarterback. And then he replaced two guys that were Heisman winners before he got there. Two quarterbacks back to back in Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, who obviously, if you have a coach having that much success in college, that he was like, you know what, Jalen, you come here and play for me. We'll win some games together. And he did. He was the Heisman runner-up. He didn't win the Heisman, but he was the Heisman runner-up. That was also the same year that Joe Burrow just went completely off and smashed every college record ever. So it's not, you know, once again, I mean, are we supposed to begrudge him because he didn't win the Heisman? I mean, if you look at some of the quarterbacks that have similar skill sets recently that won the Heisman, you got guys like Lamar Jackson, you got guys like Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be somewhere in between those guys. And I'm all for that. I mean, when I watched him play the Cardinals this last year, and when he basically brought the Eagles back from, you know, they were down quick and he didn't give up and he fought and fought and fought and brought that team back. I was watching that game. I felt like I was watching two of the future stars of the league going at it. I mean, it was eye-opening to me, and I keep going back to that. So for me, if the Eagles are looking at quarterback of six, I'm cool with it. But at the same time, you got to identify, you got to tell me, what do they do that Jalen Hurts can't do? And watching tape and all this stuff, I really can't see it. The only thing that I could say that, you know, it's still concerning that Jalen Hurts had a bad day in the championship game. That's the most concerning thing, because obviously if you want to win a Super Bowl, you got to have a good day in those days. It would be nice, but Tom Brady never won any championships in college, okay? He never won any national championships, but he's got 7 Super Bowls. So that's not, you know, that doesn't dictate, one doesn't lead to the other. So I'm not too concerned with that necessarily. So, I mean, what I am concerned with is Jalen Hurts looks like a leader. He looks like a pro's pro. He looks like a guy's going to put in the work. He looks like a guy that's going to, you know, hold his teammates accountable. And it's stuff like that Carson Wentz never did. You know what I mean? I don't think Carson Wentz was ever held accountable either, which I think he's going to be for a rude awakening when he gets to Indianapolis, by the way. Just some fun things to go over Carson Wentz, because I said I was going to talk about him a little bit, but there's some very interesting quotes coming out of Indianapolis, which you know, if you listen to all the reports as Carson Wentz is leaving Philadelphia, it really sounds like the inmates were running the prison the second the Eagles won the Super Bowl. It sounds more and more like, I mean, number one, Carson Wentz definitely orchestrated all this. I can't understand. There's a lot of Eagles fans out there right now that are just like, they're just blind to Carson Wentz's treachery and deception, and I can't understand it. This guy here got everything that he wanted. He forced his way out after signing a $100 million contract, and he forced it in the direction of where he wanted to go. But going back even further than that, Carson Wentz has been deceptive and treacherous ever since the Eagles won the Super Bowl. It's obvious that he played a part in the downfall of this team in the coming years after Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. And he did it with a smile on his face, which is even harder to take in. He never had a real moment. And I think that if you look at it, a lot of people were really questioning after the Eagles won the Super Bowl and Frank Reich left, and the offense started to, you know, wasn't as hot the second Frank Reich left. I mean, it didn't have the play design was different. There wasn't as many trick plays or explosive plays, or creativity was gone. I think a lot of Eagles fans are wondering out loud, maybe Frank Reich was the guy. You know, maybe it was Frank Reich that was the reason this offense was looking so good, because even the play, the Philly play, even that play, Doug Peterson didn't call that play. You know what I mean? Like, if you watch the highlights, the footage of it, you know, Doug, it just came out recently that Doug Peterson wanted to run like a speed option or something with slow Nick Foles. And Nick Foles said, "You want to run Philly? And Doug Peterson was like, "Yeah, let's do it." You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even his call. So there are, you could definitely question Doug Peterson's play calling. You definitely question his creativity since Frank Reich left. And I think a lot of people are questioning that maybe Frank Reich was the reason that the Eagles offense was so good and not Doug Peterson. I think that the Eagles organization was too. That's why they were so willing to get rid of a coach after, what, a couple years after winning a Super Bowl, which isn't typically the way that it happens. If you got a guy that you think is Super Bowl material and he's going to constantly get your team back to Super Bowls and continuously get back to Super Bowls over and over, you don't let him go. You don't get rid of him. You give him all the power. So obviously they didn't believe him either. And I think behind the scenes, Carson Wentz was very vocal about that to ownership. I think that he was constantly cutting Doug down. And I think that Carson Wentz is going to have a chance to prove it now. Now that he got where he wanted to go and he's back with Frank Reich, we're going to find out if Carson Wentz was right. But there's been some very interesting quotes coming out of Indianapolis that makes me think that Carson Wentz is not going to walk into a hunky situation, all, you know, as friendly of a situation as he thinks. Here, one quote that I really liked was, Carson Wentz wears number 11. And last year, rookie receiver Michael Pittman also wears number 11. Now, obviously, they're supposed to, you know, I'm pretty sure T.Y. Hilton's gone. I couldn't even name you another receiver in Indianapolis other than Michael Pittman, who was drafted last year in the second round. I think they have a first-round pick, you know, from a couple years ago as well, who hasn't done a lot. I mean, I can name some of their receivers. But ultimately, the one that stands out the most, that has the most promise, is probably Michael Pittman, who had a mediocre rookie year last year. He didn't do a ton. But when asked, you know, if he was going to give up number 11, he just said flat out, "It's my number." You know what I mean? In so many words, he said, "It's my number." You know what I mean? Which is really funny to hear from a guy who's essentially a rookie receiver. Carson Wentz is a five-year veteran, a guy who almost won the MVP in 2017. And you can tell that he's not even impressed. He's coming here. It's like, look, dude, you got to earn it just like everybody else. Just because you're the quarterback, you're coming here, you forced your way here. He's getting no respect in Indianapolis. There was a picture going around of him FaceTiming cornerback Kenny Moore from the Colts, you know, with a big smile on his face that kind of made its way around social media. Why would Carson Wentz be FaceTiming defensive backs? Why shouldn't he be FaceTiming his positional players, his skill position players, his offensive linemen be reaching out to him? Like, that was just one picture. We don't know. Maybe they were. But it's still kind of strange that the guys reaching out to you are the guys that are probably going to spend the least amount of time with you. Defensive players that really, you don't have to work with them when you're on the offensive side. You don't have to build chemistry with them. So it's kind of strange that that's the guy reaching out to you. Although I'm sure some other guys have reached out to him. I'm not saying that's the only one, but I'm just painting the picture that he's not going to have, you know, the same type of rope that he had in Philadelphia. He has to go earn his stripes in Indianapolis. And I think that you're getting that from a lot of the veteran players there, who he hasn't done anything in Indianapolis. He has a reputation of a guy that throws his weight around, and is defiant. and wants things done his way, and he wants to be the boss and the leader and all this stuff, but he hasn't done anything there. So I think that he's not going to get that, and it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts to that. Another guy, another very vocal leader who has definitely earned his stripes in Darius Leonard, had a quote that was more about free agency, but it came out during the Carson Wentz rumors, so it almost makes me think that maybe it was more about Carson Wentz. And the quote was something, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effect of, I don't care who comes here, what position, yada, 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 but they got to come here to work. And he was basically putting it out there via, that comment that this is, you ain't nothing when you come here. You got to come here and step in line. And Carson Wentz, he would have benefited from that if he would have took that approach in Philadelphia. He never took that approach in Philadelphia. All the reports were that he was coddled, that he wanted everything handed to him. He didn't want to work for it. Not that he didn't put in the time, but that obviously he never held himself accountable. I don't think he's going to get any of that in Indianapolis. And I think that's what he needs. So there's a very good chance that he could perform better out there. But it's also going to be interesting to see how his ego handles it, because not a lot of people get third chances. This is his second chance, and I don't know if he gets a third. I mean, look at Cam Newton. His second chance, he fell right on his face, and now people are talking about him like maybe you should retire. And I think that the Colts, I mean, they're in a position where they still have a pretty good backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, a guy who started for them. So it's not as if Carson Wentz goes, he seems to want like a quarterback room all by himself. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that. Jacoby Brissett started a lot of games in this league, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's playing poorly going into, 10 weeks into the season, and the Colts are thinking like, well, if he continues to play poorly and we don't make playoffs, but he reaches that threshold of 75% that makes his trade become a first-round pick, maybe they switch it over to Jacoby Brissett. I don't think they're really on the hook as far as, his contract. I mean, I'm sure they could get out from under his contract. I'm not sure if he re-signed something or what they're responsible for, because a lot of times when guys are traded, there's a lot of, you can get out from under that contract without absorbing a huge guaranteed hit, because the previous team takes a lot of that on, or takes most of it on. But like I said, I don't know the full stipulations of that, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Colts decide after, not too long, that we're not really attached to this guy. And if he's going to play poorly like he did in Philadelphia, they might decide, like, let's cut our losses, keep our first round pick, just move forward. Because I don't think, it wouldn't surprise me if Carson Wentz's career goes on to be a complete bust after this. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes on to become a Hall of Famer either. I'm leaning more towards he's going to be a lot of what he has been, which is a very mediocre quarterback, a middle of the road quarterback, somewhere between I would say upper tier, he's almost like the medium of the NFL these last couple years. If you look at his PFF rankings, he's been like 14th, and then last year he fell off a cliff where he was like 32nd, 31st, something like that. So that to me is probably where it's going to continue. I think he's still going to be in the upper half, probably like 16 or higher, but I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 guy unless Frank Reich can really dial up some great offenses. But that's going to be like one of their biggest issues. I think you can look at them probably getting a receiver in the first round this year, because their offensive line is set, and Carson Wentz has proven that he really needs guys around him, although Michael Pittman obviously is a good addition. They have a couple of good young guys as well. But ultimately, I just think that Carson's not walking into a situation that he thinks he is. I think he's walking into a better situation. I think he's walking into a situation where he can win. He's walking into a situation that definitely is a lot less, a much smaller market. He's going to be more comfortable in Indianapolis than he was in Philadelphia for sure. But there's definitely some pitfalls there that he could fall into. So before I end this, like I said, I did want to at least go over some of the young guys that Eagles fans should be excited about, because I do feel like, without a doubt, the Eagles have a very good young foundation to build on the offensive side. The defensive side, not so much, but I'm going to go over some good young names that I think that the Eagles can identify to build around. Number one, Jalen Hurts. Without a doubt, I think he's a very talented quarterback. Number two, Miles Sanders is already a Pro Bowler. I think you got to get him more involved, but I also think the Eagles need to bring in a running back that can take some snaps from him so they can run more of a two-back system. I think Jalen Reagor looked pretty good last year. Not great, but I think that he'll benefit from a new situation. And I think he has a lot of talent. I still think he has a lot of playmaking ability. Travis Fulgham led the team in receiving last year. I think that you have a guy. He probably would have, I mean, to me, he could be a 1,000-yard receiver if he actually kept him on the field last year. They just felt the need to pull him and hide him behind Alshon Jeffrey for what reason, I don't understand. John Hightower, he kind of fell out of favor. And Quez Watkins kind of fell into favor towards the end of the year. I don't know what to make of either one of them. I don't know if necessarily either one of them are going to be anything. But they have both flashed a little bit, in my opinion. I don't think much is going to come from that, though. Then you have Greg Ward, who looks like he could be the slot receiver for, you know, 5 years or so. Like, he's definitely a guy that I want in the mix. So right there, you have a really good then Dallas Goedert, obviously, who we talked about. But then right there, you got all the weapons you need. I still feel like they should take a receiver number one. It should be a receiver or a offensive lineman number one at the number six pick. And I don't think there's any lineman, at least not a position that they need, that will be available at number six. It would have to be like a guard or a center. I think they're pretty good at tackle. Whether they decide to keep Lane Johnson, how long they go forward with Lane Johnson, I'm not really sure. I think that they restructured that contract recently to the point where it's going to be kind of hard to move on from him. But they have, between him, Andre Dillard, and Jordan Mailata, they have three bookend caliber guys for the next decade, in my opinion. Not necessarily Lane Johnson, but for the next 5 years, let's say. They have at least three tackles. So if you're going to pick an offensive lineman at six, it's usually a tackle, and I don't think they need a tackle. And Dillard, I know he's a big question mark. He's coming off of an injury, and I know that there was a lot of reports that he didn't look good in camp last year. He didn't look good, in the offseason, yada, yada, yada. But there was a lot of reports that said the same thing about Jordan Mailata. And I know when Jordan Mailata got out on the field, he looked fantastic. He looked like an all-pro caliber guy if you just give him a few years. So to me, I can give the same type of leeway to Dillard. I can't buy what comes out of camp, what reports come out of camp, because that doesn't mean anything. If the reports were Jordan Mailata wasn't even going to make the roster last year, there was reports that he might get cut, and then he came out and just looked like the best lineman on the team. So to me, they have really good offensive line capabilities when it comes to the tackles. Now, if Jason Kelce leaves, simple solution, you just kick Isaac Seumalo inside, or you have Nate Herbig, who I thought looked pretty decent last year as well. Nate Herbig's another guy that I think could play. I think he showed a lot last year, and he's one of the guys. I'm pretty sure Nate Herbig, when they signed him as an undrafted free agent, I think they gave him like a massive undrafted free agent contract by standards of undrafted free agents. Like, they really believed in him. They show with the contract that they really believe in Herbig, and I think he could be a part of the future. Then obviously Brandon Brooks comes back, and that's obviously going to help. So, you know, they have a lot of money still tied up in the line, and a lot of high draft capital still tied up in the line. I think that they could definitely bring in some mid-round guys in this upcoming draft to try to bolster that interior line. I didn't even mention Jack Driscoll, by the way, who I also thought showed really well to me in multiple positions. Another guy that could play in a couple different positions. I think he could play tackle, and I wouldn't be upset about that at all. So I feel like they have, on the offensive line, and the offense as a whole, I feel like the offense really has a lot of really good pieces. You notice I didn't mention J.J. Arcadia-Whiteside, by the way, which I do want to give J.J. Arcadia-Whiteside, now that he has a new offense and a new coach, a guy that was a former receivers coach. I want to give J.J. Arcadia-Whiteside a clean slate and a possibility that he could turn into a player. It's possible. I'm not, like I said, I didn't include him on purpose because I really think that he's shown what he is in the NFL, but there's a chance they could get something out of him if the new coaches are good. If they're savvy, if they're good on offense. So like I said, to me, I still look at this offense and say a little bit of health luck, maybe drafting a receiver, whether it's Jamar Chase or, obviously, I mean, there's a really good, it's a good receiving class. Get any receiver at number six, and I think that you can improve this offense immediately and be a very strong offense. But going to the defensive side, a little bit less. You know, I mean, as far as young players that I think that the Eagles can build around, I could wipe the slate clean at cornerback and safety and not care. You know what I mean? Like, not one of them, I'm like, well, we got a guy there. Although I do feel like, I mean, there's obviously a couple guys under contract like Maddox, and Kayvon Wallace is probably one that I'm still intrigued about, even though he didn't make a play last year, really. He's still a guy that I say, you know what, I like him, and I'd like to see more. Jalen Mills is a guy, like, just let him walk. You know what I mean? Like, I like Jalen Mills, but there's no real guy in the secondary at all that I want to hold on to. Then you go to the linebackers, there's not a ton there either. Like I said, Alex Singleton is the only guy that really showed like he looks like he could play. And then T.J. Edwards, too. I can't forget T.J. Edwards. So as far as the defense goes, after the front four, really only two guys that I say, wow, these guys might be players. Alex Singleton and TJ Edwards. Those are the only two guys. Other than Darius Slay, obviously, I'm just talking about young guys right now that they can build around. But that's it. Like that's all that they really have. Then you go to the defensive front, and I like Derek Barnett, but like I said, based off his contract, I'm not really interested. If they get rid of him, I'd actually be happy. Josh Sweat shows ability. He shows like he's a player, and he's on the cheap, so he's a young guy that you could try to keep around and build a defense around. And then that's about it. I also like Hassan Ridgeway. He's definitely a good guy for some snaps. They have some good rotational defensive linemen behind some of the pricey veterans. But I mean, this defense, like I said, if you really wanted to find a place to cut some cap, I really think that this defense is the way to do it and just start, you know. I don't want to get rid of Fletcher Cox. I don't want to get rid of Brandon Graham. I'm cool with them finding a way to restructure them to save money and keep them. But nobody else really do I care about, honestly, on this entire defense, aside from the young guys that are under contract. This defense is really barren. And the Eagles have shown the last couple of years that they are way more interested in improving the offense and putting their resources into the offense. So I think that that will be the way that they go, because if you look at the high-priced guys, there's not a ton of high-priced guys in the offense. It's offensive linemen and defensive linemen. Those are your most expensive guys. And I really think that if you're going to support Jalen Hurts, obviously you want to keep your money in the offensive line as opposed to the defensive line. So we might have a defense that's just getting waxed this upcoming year, which is not something that Eagles fans are used to. That's something the Eagles have always had, going all the way back to, you know, Buddy Ryan days. We're used to having good defenses, and I don't know, that might be an issue going forward, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, the Eagles definitely have, you know, Harry Rosen especially has a lot of his work cut out for him as far as turning this team into something that can win games next year, because it's the vision is very winnable. So I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast there. I don't want to go too long. This has been one of my longer podcasts, actually, as I'm closing in around 50 minutes here. You know, obviously there's a lot to still happen before next season. And as these stories break, as these players get released, as signings happen, as rumors break, I will be right here to report on all of them and give you my thoughts on all of them, as well as try to give you as much behind the scenes information as possible, as much, you know, as much insight as possible into these things, as they come available. So I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast there. Other than that, this has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk, and I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. Thanks for listening.